Amen. Well, we've been talking about gifts for a long time, and had a weekend, was that 3 weeks ago now? Seems like months ago. Had a Saturday class where hopefully you had a chance to take some surveys, not tests, on what your gifts might be. If you haven't had a chance to do that, we still have the handouts, and you're welcome to take that at any time. That would help you sort of have an understanding of when I reference your scores or something like that. That would be in here, or in here. That would be the scores you would have gotten from those quizzes, those surveys, those not tests. So, this isn't working.
That's right.
There we go. Now it is. So it says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And we've had this verse up here a number of times, but I keep coming back to it because I personally keep coming back to it. The desire for us to not be ignorant about the things we've been given to do ministry, I think is important for us to keep in our minds. And even having taken surveys or coming to classes or whatever it is, I think it's an ongoing process that he's talking about, us not being ignorant about these gifts, because it's what we've been given by the Holy Spirit to be used by the Holy Spirit, not to be used by us, but to be used by the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our ministries. So if you're a highlighter, I would keep that verse highlighted in your Bible. We're not supposed to be uninformed about our gifts. These are a couple of just background verses we've looked at a number of times. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. The gifts we're looking at, the motivational gifts, aren't the only ones. There are different series of gifts for different purposes. We're just looking at the motivational ones right now. But it's the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that distributes them and gives them to us to be used by Him. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And that's the other piece that I want to just continue to build on, that these gifts aren't for us to go out and make a fortune or for us to draw fame to ourselves. They're given to us for the body. And it's the use of them in the body that they're intended for. They do carry over into other parts of our lives, but the intention of them is to be used for the common good. So then we have our scores. And I went back and forth on this. I actually muted this slide and then I put it back in. So we'll go back and forth here a few times just so that I didn't know if I should put it up there or not. But those are the scores that I got on my not tests. The reason why I wasn't sure to put them up there is, and how I finally decided I'm just going to leave them was I got tired of wondering. But I've seen the score results of everyone who turned their stuff in, so I thought it's only fair the other way around. But I figured after you saw that my gifts of mercy and service are where they are, you'd probably fire me as pastor and find somebody who's nicer. You already knew that. Surprised I got that high. Really retake those two.
I saw you carry the sign down on the road there. You were serving there.
Yeah, I was grumbling when I did it. But I think when you do these kinds of things, that perhaps there's a few questions. The ones I'm going to run through are a couple that are in a couple of books that I looked at, and just some that come to my mind. And if you have others, you can ask them now or at the end, either one. But one is, what if my scores are all very similar? Because this actually was written down on a couple of sheets that were turned in, and this is nobody's specific scores. But if your scores kind of look like this, there's 72 and 68 and a couple of 65s and things, what do you do with that? I think a few people might have left thinking, oh, I was going to leave knowing, oh, this is my gift, and I left knowing I'm sort of a soup of gifts. And there's a couple of things for that. One would be, it's just one set of tests. Surveys. So you can retake them, and that would be one of the things that I would consider you doing, is once you've learned what the gifts are, because we're taking them blind, right? We didn't know what they were associated with, and it might be more helpful to go back through once you know what it's asking. So that would be one. It might differentiate more if you know what they're asking in context of. There are different tests out there that you can take. There's a zillion of them online and things. Or testing, surveying, may not be the best way for you to figure it out. That's certainly possible too. That just the way you engage those sorts of questions doesn't work for you, and that's okay. It's not the Bible. They're just surveys that somebody made up. So there are other ways. But my first encouragement would be, once we learn what they are, go back and retake them, see how that turns out. What if I disagree with the outcome? Had a couple of people comment. It's like, I don't think that's what I'm gifted in. And that's okay too. Again, it's just one set of surveys. If the questions didn't line up with sort of how you think about ministry or you think about the importance of things, then it wouldn't line up. But the other thing I'd say to do is to go through them and have someone that knows you well help you answer them. Judy and I went through the surveys together, and there were a number of times where it's like, I don't know. I don't think I'm that nice of a person, or I think I'm that this or that. And she would help me think through it. She'd say, you're right, you're not that nice. didn't help much on that one. But I do think it can be helpful. It's sometimes hard to self-evaluate, whether it's our sense of humility or awkwardness. There were questions where I just felt awkward to give myself a certain score on them. So that would be something I would do, is take them with somebody else. Why are all my scores so low or so high? And we had a few surveys where the people's highest scores were not very high. I had another person, or set of people whose lowest scores were still pretty high. And I think the answer to that is how we look at things, our lens that we're using. What we have to remember is these scores aren't comparative to other people.
Right.
You're not going, oh, wow, I got a 60, you got a 90, you must be 50% better, sorry, bad math, on that question. No, that's a gift, that's not it. It's the lens you're using to help you sift you out. And so if your scores are high or low, if your highest score is in the 50s, that doesn't mean you're bad at your best. It means that's just showing you that one, and that's how you answer things. So I wouldn't worry about that. You have a whole bunch of high scores or a whole bunch of low scores, your scores will be closer together just by nature. You'd have less span than if you were someone who had some high and some low. And so then you have to look at it and go, well, if my high score is 86 and my second high score is 84 and my third high score is 84, are they all the same again? You'll have to go back through and figure out, But I think the last piece is what has your testament of your life said? What in the context of your own energies, if you never took a survey and just heard these are the gifts, there'd probably a piece of you is like, yeah, this sort of seems like me. Mm-hmm. Or somebody who knows you well might say, yeah, I'm pretty sure that one is. So there's also the potential your scores, because of how you do it, are not correct in this context. And so I think it's partly communion. Mm-hmm. And it was fun to listen to people sharing their scores and hearing people going, yeah, that's exactly you. So if folks confirm what you see or suspect, then that's probably an important piece also. What if I don't want this gift? They don't come with a receipt, so you can't take it back. So what if you don't want it? What if you think, oh, this isn't it? Well, so the first one question would be, is it accurate? It's possible that, again, you just, in the way you were scoring it, things didn't go the way you thought. But if it is accurate, and you're like, oh, that's not what I want to do, probably you don't understand the gift. It's probable that the application of that gift in your life, in your ministry, is just something you have to learn more about. So if you're looking at it and thinking, well, I don't want to be an administrator, but I scored really high on it, then probably just not understanding it. So give it time to learn about it, that sort of thing. But you can also make sure, ask other folks, does this seem like me? And they might help you understand it more. So it's like, oh yeah, it is actually. So what if my gift doesn't fit my ministry? Probably, again, you may not understand the gift, but you also might understand the application. I spent some time trying to figure out, is there any place where these gifts don't fit? And I don't think so. I haven't come up with a place like, well, this, yeah, this gift just doesn't go in that ministry. And that was, I shared this at the retreat day that we were at. I was actually somewhat disappointed at first. I thought it would be very clear to get done and just, oh, well, this, you should obviously do international because you've got, but there is no gift of international. I'm surprised by that. But if you're understanding it and you're thinking, this doesn't fit my ministry, then maybe you're doing the wrong thing in that ministry. You're involved in it because you're passionate about, say, international, but you're applying your own service there in a way that's not most optimal. So, and is it possible God's asking you to do something you're not directly most gifted in? Yeah, that's certainly possible too. It happens, I think, fairly often for a period of time. Can a spiritual gift be used incorrectly? I reworded this question like 15 times because I had misused in there and different sorts of words. And all I'm trying to ask in that and actually communicate about that is it's a gift of the Spirit. So if it's used outside of the Spirit, it's being misused. Yeah. It's wrong to think, oh, I'm a good teacher, so I can just teach. I'm a good administrator, so I can just administer. Your gifts exist in you, and you can function using the skill set without the presence of the Spirit.
Right.
And that's counterfeit both you and the kingdom and the people around you. So that's when I ask this question, that's what I'm meaning by it. Can it be used incorrectly? We have to keep in mind, if it's not fueled by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, it's not being used the way it's intended to be used. So here we go. Romans 12:6-8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. And for today's one, if it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. If it is to lead, do it diligently is the one gift we're going to take on today, and that's the gift of administration. If you don't have the gift of administration, well, I won't run back to mine, but that was my fifth place gift. If you don't have it, it's still okay to know about it. So sometimes you... Yes, good to know you don't have it and find other people who do. But I mean, and all of us do certain levels of administration in different places and times, and so it's helpful to know what this entails. So the actual word means this. The Greek word means the one who stands out front. So I'm going to argue just a little bit that the most common word we use to overarch this gift is administration, and it's probably not the right word, even though it's how it ends up looking. Different Bible translations use these words for this same Greek word: leading, ruling, organizing, governing, administering. All of those are words that get translated in different translations to mean what it is. So we put the word administration because when we see it applied in church and in the kingdom, it's done in this context of administration. But don't forget that it's the one who stands out front, and that lead is probably a better translation for that. What they're leading, we'll take a look at here. If you look at the word administration, right smack in the middle of it is the root word of it, which is minister, which we use the term minister in two different ways. The word minister means to attend to the needs of. We refer to a person who's a pastor as a minister because they attend to the needs of the flock. A person with a gift of administration tends to the needs of projects and tasks. So, same exact idea. Instead of where a pastor shepherds people, an administrator shepherds tasks, which can end up being one of the problems with administrators is they forget that they're shepherding the people in the tasks. We'll get to that later. But they're not referred to as ministers because we use the word minister to be shepherds of people. But it's the exact same centerpiece here is that minister means to take care of the needs of tasks, to lead on these tasks and projects. That's what it's for. So it ends up looking like these things: administration, organization, leadership, strategic planning, facilitating, managing. I could put a long list. I typed in the thesaurus, and the list of terms was far longer than I wanted to type. So these are sort of the main categories, and we'll come to some of them. In Scripture, we find it in a lot of places. I'm going to show us three real quick. Acts 6:3 says, "Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task." That put in charge of the task is to administer those tasks. The key, if you look up one line, full of the Spirit and wisdom. That's what takes it from just being a task to a spiritual gift application. And you'll see the word underlined down there at the bottom, ministry. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So they're going to go out and do what we typically call ministers. And they have other people to minister to the needs of the widows. That's what these folks were appointed to do, is take care of the food that was not getting to the widows because their people were too busy. So that's the administration idea there in Acts. In Nehemiah, it says, "Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire." And he says this, "Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem," which was a massive task. It was an unobtainable task in one sense because it hadn't been done. But Nehemiah, with the massive vision from God, we can get this done. That's what an administrator sees, the complexity of the task, is goes, yeah, this, we're going to get this done, and this is how we're going to do it. In Genesis, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned, from the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, and it goes on. If you want to read about an administrator, read that Genesis section. That is what he did. He was put in charge of all of this man's affairs because he was gifted at this sort of thing. So it's all over in Scripture. We could bring up all kinds of other places, but that's if you're looking for something to look at. So we're going to look at the gift itself and the application of it. What is administration? How does it take its form? The first one is, it's a visionary person. They're able to see the big picture. They can look at stuff from the outside and not be overwhelmed by it. They can, like Nehemiah with the wall. If I had driven up, I have no idea how you build a wall, I would have just gone, wow, this is a mess. Carried on. Able to see this can be done, and this is how we can get it done. That's not a natural thing when there's large, overwhelming projects, when there's large tasks to be done. A lot of times we get buried by the details of things. This visionary person has a holistic view of how things work. Next, they're organized. This is where my score dropped. I have some vision capacity, although not Nehemiah level vision capacity, but organization is not my thing. But I married the organizer, and so that's why if you come to my house, it will look like somebody other than a teenager lives in. But a person that has this ability is able to keep lots of things in order. They're able to multitask and think on several different things, interchanging them as they go along, and talk about one thing and then shift to something else. And I didn't ask Judy if I have permission to reference her, so I'll get it later. Yesterday we started watching a movie. We were hanging out, and when I watch a movie, I just watch a movie. Yeah, that's what I do. Watch a movie. My wife watching a movie and dusting and organizing things and working on a bracelet, and that's what she can do. And I'm watching. If you would stop dusting, I could watch the movie because I don't have the ability to multitask. And she does. Very much administrator, very much wanting to teach her how to not administrate while I'm watching a movie. But that's how it works, is in an administrator's mind, there's lots of channels that function at the same time. I can't do that. If I'm doing this, teaching, and something, and this is why occasionally I'll pause when there's a distraction, I'm easily distracted. I can stay focused for a minute, but if something, a butterfly, I can't have two things in my mind at once, because it's just not how I work. But a person who's administrative can do that and switch between things. So an administrator is goal-oriented. They see the end line. This is something where, if you, I mean, just on this little picture here, if I'm trying to get us to the end of a lesson, I think in terms of all the little steps that are going here, but I have to work at it. Teachers and administrators sometimes go together. For me, not so much. So what I have to do is, all right, what am I trying to get to? But when I'm studying, I end up kind of following all kinds of rabbit trails, and I have to prune those out because I have some idea on how you present information, but I lose track of the goal for a while and end up over here for a little bit. And then, oh, no, that doesn't really apply. It was really interesting, but it wasn't it. For an administrator, that's where we're going. And other stuff can fly across the way, but that's where we're going. And that will lead to one of the potential shortcomings in administrators also. But administrators keep lists of goals. And you'll notice this, and I remember this on the day we were doing the thing, different people were like, oh yeah, I keep sticky notes all over the place, and I keep lists of to-do projects, and I keep lists of this and that and the other thing. That's what they do, because they're all the things that come into their mind. Yeah, this fits for the goal we're headed to. They're able to see past all of the details, though, and stay on target. This is what we're trying to accomplish. They think in terms of accomplishment. We know we're done when we're done. What do we have to do to get there? That'll come in here in just a minute. Don't get overwhelmed by the complexity. I do. When something gets too complicated, in Mexico, we're supposed to build a house, and I'm listening to the guy. I don't know if he's an administrator or not, but I know he starts laying out, okay, we're going to do this and this and this and this, and about this, my brain just went, you know, when this power shuts off on a computer, yeah. You know it. And if he didn't say anything, but if somebody was watching me, I just went into hibernation. And then when they got done, I said, okay, I'm going to go do this thing, because I know how to do that. Not getting overwhelmed, not having anxiety by the complexity. Complexity causes non-administrators some anxiety. This one, I was just looking for pictures and to put on my thing, and this seminar came up, a seminar on goal-oriented project planning for effective problem solving. Yeah, see, that's what I said. I don't even know what that means. But there's apparently people who will go to this seminar because it draws some interest to them. It's apparently about goals and project planning and problem solving, because that's what it says. I don't even get it, because it doesn't tie into my gift set at all. If I went to the seminar, I would be on my phone, because too complex for me. There's so many different things that are all happening just there on that thing. So has nothing to do with what we're talking about. All right, the next one, sees things in stages or component parts. The ability to break stuff down is a gift. This, and then this, and then this. And here's a picture up here, kind of what it looks like, is to get where we're at. All right, it's fine that there's a gap here, but and it'll take this piece, and then it'll take that piece, and it'll take that piece. And I don't know this. I'd actually like to survey this at some point, because this picture made me wonder if administrators are the people who like to do puzzles. Because I don't like puzzles. I'll do puzzles once in a while, because Judy enjoys doing them, and I'll do it just to spend time with her. But when I look at 1,000 pieces, some upside down and edge pieces, and it's not that interesting. If there's only 7 pieces left to be put in, then I get interested. I can do this. Not overwhelming. Breaking things out. Somebody who's a puzzle maker gets, and Judy does this, dump them out, get all the edge pieces, separate them out, get all the sky pieces, get all the butterfly pieces, get all the component parts. The end, there's that picture. We're going for that picture. Here's how we're going to get there. My dad, when we built puzzles when I was a kid, he would get angry if you would build the easy pieces first. See, that's how I would be. This is the only part I can do. I'm going to build the blimp that's here because it's easy. Somebody who's thinking in terms of getting to the end, but and my dad was pretty organized sort of guy. He would be upset because he thought, when you do that, you're not going to do anything else. So I was inhibiting the end goal. Okay, and he was right. I built the blimp and I left. Sees things in as steps to success and often communicates that way. This is our first thing that we're going to get done. This is our second thing that we're going to get done. Efficiency-minded. The administrator is interested in efficiency. They avoid clutter. They don't like unnecessary distractions or complexity that doesn't need to be there. They actually can be bothered by distractions or by what seems like sort of side tracks and rabbit trails. Whatever those are. This little picture. My path would be the sort of dash path most of the time. And, you know, let's enjoy the walk and see where we end up. But the administrator, we're trying to get to the end. This is how we're going to get there. And we don't need to go by number one and two and three. We need to go right down the middle. That's how they think. Problem solving. Get it fixed. They're self-starters and motivated. They can get up and going on a project quickly. They don't have to have everything figured out because they've already, in their mind, componentized it. These are the things we gotta do. Let's get going. Later when we talk about, not too much later, when we talk about how that can be a problem, is it's important too. But the key is when you've got somebody with administrative skills, they're able to just, let's get going. And that ties back to the very first one, the visionary, able to see the big picture. How this is a challenge for those of us who are administrators is sometimes we want to understand everything before we get going, and that may not even be necessary. There's a certain level of trust that person knows how we're going to get there. When I was a kid and we would go on vacation, I never asked my dad, hey, which states are we going through? I just knew eventually there'd be a swimming pool. So I went along. I just trusted, okay. I know he knows what he's doing, and all he always did. He got us there. I just came along for the ride, able to do what I want. That, for us at a church, if you've got a group of folks, and you know these two people are very good at administration, and they know, I don't have to know every single step that's going to take place. I trust them. Now watch that when, like the Mexico trip, their time. People would ask me, "What are we doing?" I don't know. I'm not in charge. That person's in charge, and they know where we're going. So we're going to get there. And we did. So, motivated and self-starters, but we have to let them do those things. The pitfalls of administration. I know we're driving fast, but we only got 12 minutes left. Administration, like any gift, and we started with, we're going in alphabetical order. There's no sort of preferential treatment here. We're just going to take them in the order they were in the book that we handed out. But for every gift, there's a backside to it. There's a, when you're really doing this well, there's things you might forget and overlook because it comes so naturally to you. I guess for teachers, this is, and we'll get to teaching later because it's later in the alphabet, but they can very easily skip stuff just because it seems so, this piece is obvious, or this is, I don't need to say that, or I know exactly what I'm talking about, even though nobody else has that. So every gift has its things that we have to keep in mind as we do what we're gifted at. The first one, tasks can become more important than people. And a couple of the ones that we're going to see here really do tie into this. When I see the goal, this is where we're going to get. And it's an important goal. We're not wanting to minimize the importance of the project, but so this isn't a project, it's important. It's this kingdom work that we're doing. We're trying to get that done. It's easy to forget. We're trying to get it done for the kingdom, for the people. The kingdom is people. And your ability to say, that's where we're going. Sometimes administrators are driving, just metaphorical, down the street, and there's bodies on both sides because you're just driving as straight and fast as you can to get it done. And people can get run over sometimes. Frustration with people that don't see the vision clearly. I watch sometimes in staff meetings at school, and somebody's talking about something that we're working on and trying to get done, and then questions, people raise their hand and they'll have a question. And it doesn't really seem to apply to what we're actually doing, at least is the way it's understood, and it causes frustration because, well, that's not what we're talking about. That's not relevant. But it's relevant to that person, right? Anybody, if you have a question, it's relevant to them. And if they are trying to get to the same goal, but they don't know how to get there, if you start pushing out the people who don't see as clearly, that can cause all kinds of breakdown in the team that you're trying to create in the first place. This one seems similar, or same, but similar, and it is, can be callous to people's feelings. It's easy for an administrator to forget to stop and check in. How are we doing? How do you feel about where we're going? Are you on board? Because I don't want to, we could leave here now, but if we leave you standing at the station, then we're not getting done what we're trying to get done. So, somebody says, I don't understand, or I think we should do this differently, or any number of things, when the project success becomes more important than the people's success, then you have people get hurt. They can be closed to input or alternatives. As I said, I'm not an administrator, but when I'm working on a project around my house, and I learned this over 20 some odd years of having kids now, I had two separate goals in my mind, projects, things that needed to get done, and I wanted to have my kids learn how to do projects. And what I learned was, I started to emphasize the project. My kids slow projects down. Have you ever noticed that? If I could get this done in an hour, if one of my kids, when they're 7 or 9 or whatever, were helping, it would probably take 2 hours, and it probably wouldn't be done as well. And then I have this perfectionist voice that comes from stuff in my own life that it's like, wow, it's not getting done as well. And I would get frustrated with my kids. And forget which is more important, this light switch or my kid. That's this, letting the project take over instead of the people. And if I can do it with my kids, I can do it with anybody. And it does help. And it's one of the things that the administrators have to be concerned about. The last one is about them. They get wounded by criticism because they're the one in the front. When you're an administrator and you're leading a project, you're the one who's out front, and you're the one that's assigned blame. You're the one that when somebody's frustrated, you're the one that they talk about. When you're the one that's saying, this is how we get there, and you do hurt somebody's feelings, then they're the one that needs to be forgiven but doesn't get forgiven. And so they can get weighted down because they are the front person. And what the rest of us who work in teams with administrators have to remember is, they're doing the best they know how, and they're learning in their gift, and they're not going to do everything right, but they're going to learn as we work with them, and checking in. Are you feeling encouraged on this job, or are you feeling discouraged? Do you feel like we're part of your team or working against you? That's the thing that needs to happen for those of us who work with administrators. And then conflict. This might not be legal, using that picture, and I'll check it out. I can't remember if Bill Watterson gave us permission to use this, but Calvin's one of my favorite guys, and I still love this picture, so I'll write him an apology. Conflict happens, and with administration, conflict happens primarily with two, other than just sort of general conflict, there's two giftings that conflict can engage with, and those are with the gifts of faith and the gift of mercy. Here's why. People with the gift of mercy, when we get to that one, we'll find out that their primary motivation is to make sure people are taken care of, that their hearts aren't wounded, that they're being protected as much as possible, and that's what they do. And that has its backside too, and we'll talk about that when we get to it. But somebody whose administrative focus is, we're going to that map over there, and this is how we're gonna get there, and they do have, at times, tendencies to sort of disregard people or seem like project has become more important. Somebody with mercy can start to be defensive for other people, not for themselves as much, but for other people, and feel like, wow, that person's not doing a very kind job. They're not doing a very nice job. Person that's administrative can be seen as though they're all business. All they care about is business and not people, which isn't true, but it can happen. They can be seen as unspiritual. We'll take a look at a quote here for a second, or worldly. But the other piece I want to talk about real quick is that there is a gift of faith. It's not one of the motivational gifts, but there is a gift. There's two gifts of faith. One is just the faith you have in God. All of us have been given, that are here, that have faith in God. That's a gift from God that you have faith in. There's another gift of faith that is an extraordinary belief that God will accomplish what he's going to do. And we all intellectually know this. We all know and are able to say that. But there's a different gift that we'll talk about some other day that is this absolute, God's going to do it. Some of us have that gift.
Yeah.
That gift can conflict with the administrative gift. Because the God's going to do it gift is less likely to do administration. They're more likely to just, let's see what happens. And there are churches that do run this way. There are churches that are like, we'll show up. We'll find out who's preaching the day we show up. And they'll talk about whatever the Lord told them to talk about. Charles Stanley, in the book that I suggested, says this. The person with the gift of organization, or he calls it organization, is often misunderstood. The person with the gift of organization is no less spiritual than those who bear any other gift. But it seems like it, because they're trying to manage things. Why would you try to manage something that God's got control of? Because that's their gift.
Right.
Because that's what their task is to do, and it needs to be done. We can't make an assumption, well, God's going to take it. We don't need an ministry. There's no point in administration if God is going to do it. That doesn't mean that the gift of faith is bad either, but they just clash in their, I'm going to use the word worldview, but it's spiritual, in their view of how we get there. And both are important. The message, God's going to do this, is 100% true. Because these are gifts of the Spirit. If God's not through the Spirit doing it, but the gift of administration is equally valid of, how are we going to do it? How are these things going to get done? And somehow, in God's way, where he puts all the pieces together, they work together for the outcome that God's looking for. If it's not coupled with mercy, and it's often not, people who score high in administration very often score fairly low in mercy. High administration ability, lower mercy. Now, when we talk about mercy, again, we'll... Scripture says if you don't have mercy, what's going to happen? You won't be shown mercy. So there's a terrifying verse in there. That's different than this. The gift of mercy isn't what you're required to have to be shown mercy. All of us need to show mercy, but that active engagement of mercy, that gift, is one that some people have, but not everybody. Person with administration? Probably more task-oriented, and so they need a person with the gift of mercy to come in with them and help manage the people, help care for the folks that are around them, help explain a little bit every once in a while. Yeah, they're not trying to disregard you. That's not that this is the way administrators work. We got this, this, and this to do, and they need somebody that can come in and say, you're also loved and valued and needed on this project. Now, the administrator has to learn to do this too. It's a skill set that has to be added in for the administrator, but that's for a little bit later. Using the gift of administration, we're almost done. Scripture says this, do it diligently. The two translations I'll put up here, this is a section out of that Romans 12, it says, if it is to lead, do it diligently. In the New English Translation says, if it is leadership, he must do it with diligence. The interesting thing is, even though there's five different commonly used words for administration, they all say diligently. There's no variation in the translation of how it's supposed to be done. So then it's, well, what does that mean? This. Diligence is careful and persistent work or effort. The word there that was fascinating to me was careful. Because the persistent is the nature of the administrator. They're persistent, but careful. That means to be going about what you're doing, taking care of how you do it. It's okay to have, it's good, it's a God-given gift to have the gift of administration, but be careful because you can hurt people. Be careful to stop and check in with the folks you're leading. And so this picture, I really like this picture, this is a dumb little illustration, but what I like it is it shows the administrator, who is the person out front, but you notice how she's looking. She's pointing to where they're going, but she's looking back at who she's bringing. That, to me, encapsulates exactly what the administrator needs to be thinking of. No, I'm not going to lose where we're headed, but I've got to be watching who I'm taking. That's how administration can be aware of its own dangers. So the last piece here, and this is where it's almost not possible really to say, okay, how does all this fit in ministry? Because there's a million ways to do it. These are the things, project management. Things like taking care of we have a meal after church today, managing that. It takes a lot of people to get meals for church and make sure you have cleanup crews and all that sort of stuff. Facilitation, running a meeting, that sort of thing. Communication, newsletters and stuff. Lots of different component parts. Okay, there's our newsletter every month. There's lots of different pieces that are involved in that. Office administration. How do you get all the different things? People come in here all the time. There's different people needing different things and staff wandering around, all kinds of stuff. Finances are in counting, budgeting, strategic planning, organization. All of the things that happen in a church at some level need administration. But it needs administrators that understand two things. It's the Holy Spirit doing it. If you don't stop, you can just administrate and hurt people. You have to remember, yeah, I'm good at this because of the Holy Spirit, not because of a skill set. The skill set's still there. The skill set that has to be learned is how to do it through the Holy Spirit. So that's one. The second one is to be very conscious of all the people that are around you. For the rest of us who don't have the gift of administration, we have to remember it's a progress or a process for every person learning how to use their gift well, and they're not going to use it well all the time. And sometimes you will get stung by an administrator and then go, they're just getting us to the goal. And it's not that they're upset with me. They're just getting us to the point. All right, any questions? We're over a couple of minutes, but.